Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, if it doesn't get too late.
Come on, put your hands together. I need to see you screaming here.
Again, yes, I am free. It's nothing like being free. I don't know if you've ever been just bogged down by life and its trials and tribulations, so it's good to be free in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We'd like to welcome you all. Welcome.
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 To the preacher.
And the pastor.
I'm Tawanika Manning.
And I'm Dorsey Manning.
And we are the preacher.
And the pastor.
Today we're talking about?
The spirit of mammon.
Is it controlling you or has it controlled your life?
My. We shall see. I think it's going to be a great show tonight. We're talking about the spirit of mammon or the spirit of money. This is one of the issues that's not really talked about much, but we definitely going to get into it tonight. We thank God for allowing us to have revelation and knowledge of what he wants us to deliver tonight on the spirit of mammon or the spirit of money.
Yes, we have to be very careful that we're not operating with the spirit of mammon. A lot of us are born into that spirit. So we're going to talk a little bit about the spirit of man. Y'all, please forgive me. My speech is a little thrown off, but all is well and good. You know, slow it down a little bit. Again, welcome to the show. The preacher, my husband's the pastor, the preacher of the pastor show. So we're excited to bring you this particular topic as we're talking about today, the spirit of mammon. Mammon is money. This show will help us identify how the spirit of mammon works. Once we can identify the works of the spirit of mammon, we can be once and for all delivered, set free, to finally receive the peace that surpasses all understanding. The Bible says no one can serve two masters. Let me get y'all the scripture on that so you all can go there with me. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, and that's 19 through 24. Matthew 6, you are Matthew 6, 19 through 24. The Bible says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where the thieves break and steal. Give me one moment. I'm sorry about that. Where the thieves break and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. The verse 21 says, well, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And if you come down to verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What is the Bible saying to us here? Jesus says we can have only one master. We live in a materialistic society where many people serve money. They spend all their lives collecting and storing it up only to die and leave it behind. And me and my husband, we were having a Bible study. We were talking about the spirit of mammon. So the desire for money and what it can buy for our ways, their commitment to God and spiritual matters. So whatever you store up, you will spend much of your time and energy thinking about it. So don't fall into the materialistic trap, because the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. When we go to 1 Timothy 6:10, and we'll go to that, can you honestly say that God and not money is your master? One says it's to ask which one occupies more of your thoughts, your time, your efforts. Amen?
Amen, amen. So now, like I said, we were talking on, we was having a Bible study right before the show came on, and oh man, the spirit of money. I mean, that was, like I say, that's one issue that we really just would not like to shine a light on. You know, because at the end of it all, you know, even growing up, you know, from a child, you know, you are taught how to live by what money can do, or live by what money can buy. I remember being young, and I used to ask my mom and my parents, my mom or my dad or my older brother or sister, I would always ask them for some money to buy certain things at the store, because that's what I was taught. I was taught that I can't get things out of the store unless I have money. Or I would ask for certain things. There were certain toys that I used to cry about, but I couldn't get those toys because the thing that we always said, I don't have no money to buy that. Got to have money to get that. Got to have money to get that. So I was already being taught, you know, to the way you able to get the things that you want or to get the things that you desire is you have to have money to get it. So I was just saying that, you know, just to say, you know, it's about the spirit of money. Who would really say that, okay, I trust God for everything? Who would really say that? I trust God for everything. But when it comes down to your finances, do you really trust God with your finances? We would trust God with every single area of about every single area of our life except for our money. I proved that to you. We would spend more time, chasing after the dollar bill, and we would make sure that we'd be on time to make sure that we have the dollar bill more than we would for spending time in the Word of God, you know, trusting in God.
Amen. If you're just tuning into the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about right now the spirit of mammon. Is it controlling your life? I mean, what has it done for you? A lot of people, you hear the saying that people will say they will die with get rich or die trying to get rich. They had a song,
yeah,
what people
yeah,
would what people do for mm-hmm. money. You know, people will do, they will steal, they will kill, they will destroy you for money. They will lie on you for money. They will take up, you know, when I say lie on you, but you, that's what bribery is. And so people can have money. Even we think about Judas of Azacrat, you know, what caused him to be, but you know what caused him to be led astray was the spirit of mammon. You know, for Satan to be able to enter into him, because he had that spirit of mammon that was operating in him, which is the avenue to allow Satan to enter and work into his life. So you got to be careful. We wonder why things are happening. Are we operating with the spirit of mammon, which is allowing, which is opening up that avenue for Satan to actually operate in our lives, causing all kind of misfortunes and sickness and disease.
Oh, yeah.
And we're trying to figure out why, because we've opened up that avenue for Satan to operate, because we're operating with the spirit of man, and anything outside of the Holy Spirit will cause the enemy to be able to operate in our lives. So we have to be very careful. And I want to go to 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6, verse 6 to 10. And I'm going to read it slowly to you all here, because I want to make sure that you all hear me and understand me, because I'm trying to slow down so everybody can catch what I'm saying, and that we all can be delivered and set free and blessed, the word that's going forward on the show today. The Bible says, again, that's in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 10 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7 says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certainly we can carry nothing out. And verse 8 says, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Verse 9 says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. And then verse 10 says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith of their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Let's talk about this, because you hear this saying all the time about, the root of money. I think it's back in the days I would hear money is the root of all evil. But the Bible says here that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. That means you open yourself up to all kinds of evil to operate. Now you're operating with the spirit of man, and then you're operating with all these different types of evil things. That means that you would do anything for money, because that's the spirit that's operating you versus the Holy Spirit operating you, the fruits of the Holy Spirit operating you. So when you're operating with the spirit of man, you're operating with all kinds of evil, which leads to sorrow. The Bible said, and it pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you hear the saying, people say, more money, more problems. But a lot of us ain't had more money to have more problems. But think about it. If you had $1,000 today, and then all of a sudden you became a millionaire, you hear people that say they wish they never became a millionaire, because it came with more sorrows than to have all this money. They'd rather go back to when they had just enough to get by. But not understanding, when you operate in the spirit of man, you operate with all kinds of evil. So let me break down what the word is saying. So this statement here, when we talk about now godliness with content is great gain, I'm going to break down the scripture a little bit here. So the statement is the key of the spiritual growth and personal fulfillment. We should honor God and center our desires on Him. Godliness. So as we always talk about the scripture, which is my favorite, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. When we operate with the spirit of man, we're seeking money and not God. We're seeking money than things. Some of us are praying, but we're praying for money. We're operating in the spirit of man, and then we go to God. So, and we should be content with what God is doing in our lives. So despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary, most people still believe that money brings happiness. Rich people craving greater riches can be caught in an endless cycle that only ends in ruin and destruction. So how can you keep away from the love of money? Paul gives us some guidelines. One, realize that one day riches will all be gone. And two, be content with what you have. And three, monitor what you are willing to do to get more money. You got to be careful what you're willing to do, because some people give up everything just to get that extra money. Four, love people more than money. Love people more than money. And five, love God's work more than money. Six, freely share what you have with others. Freely share what you have with others for more, and avoiding the love of money. Avoid the love of money, being able to give freely. Because one thing, like my husband said, we'll give anything and everything out, but when it comes to our money, we'll do everything God tells us to do. But if he said give all your money, or give your money, you'll have a problem with it. You can serve and be a church every Sunday, do what you said to do, but when it comes down to your money, you will trust God with everything but your money. You will find other ways. So let me finish doing this, let me do that. But put God first. So it is often, we look at verse 8, and then I'll give it over to you, Pastor. It says, and having food and clothing, with these shall be content. So it is often helpful to distinguish between needs and wants. We may have all we need to live, but let us ourselves become, let ourselves become anxious and discontented over what we merely want. Like Paul, we can choose to be content without having all that we want. The only alternative here is to be a slave to our desires. So greed leads to all kinds of evil. When we look at verse 10, as I close out here, verse 10, greed leads to all kinds of evil, marriage problems, robbery, blow-ups, and partnerships. This deceitfulness operating with an evilness. So the master greed, you must control it as its root. Get rid of the desire to be rich. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're talking about the spirit of money. I believe this spirit that has attached itself to money, I believe that this is one of the most deceptive demonic spirit out of all spirits, just because of what the influence that it would have for you to do. And I heard you say that Pastor. So the spirit of mammon has attached itself or associated itself in its presence and almost every single thing about your life, almost every situation every single thing that you could ever do. It's almost like money is somewhere involved in that. It's almost like money is somewhere involved in that. And I'm talking about current life or how you see it and how you live it. The reason why I'm thinking that, because I had a chance to actually see myself. I had a chance to see myself some years ago when I actually learned about the spirit of money. I was like, okay, what's the spirit? I don't even know what that is. Nobody has ever taught me about the spirit of money. You know, what is that? And I would I did research on it, and I would start getting revelation, and I saw myself. Now, I don't have to point the finger at nobody, but I saw myself like, my Lord, I'm definitely controlled by money. I'm definitely controlled by money because let's just be honest about it. Let's just be honest about it.
Yes, come on.
Anybody that's trusting in God today. You didn't know somebody had to teach you, like, hey, you know, this is the way to live. This is the way. But before somebody taught you that, it was almost to the point to where someone taught you how to grow up and how to live and how to go and go make money. Go make money, because money is going to be that thing that you're going to need for you to live and survive. And that has truth into it, but that's not all the way the truth. You said seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. Now that's written, that scripture, and we were talking on later about promises and talking about the law. Now that's law. So it says that scripture is saying, you know, God first. It's saying God first and his righteousness, Jesus Christ. Is his righteousness, and you are his righteousness through Jesus Christ. And then he said, all things shall be added unto you. So at one point in time in my life, you know, I was making sure that, you know, I'm going to make sure I spend all the time that I need to get all the amount of money that I need, because if I don't have the amount of money that I need, I can't live the way I want to live, the way I desire, which goes against what Scripture says. Now, if money is your source, then that means God is not your source. You know, by default,
Jesus.
If money is your source, what you can do to be able to produce a certain amount of money, or is it what God has already done for you to make sure that you have all you ever want and all you ever need in life, plus more. And I definitely was in that place. And honestly, right now, if you were asked most people that are believers and non-believers, how much money will it take for you to change your position right now? How much money would it take to change your situation? How much would it take? We would really answer that question. We would put a dollar amount on that. You put a dollar amount
quickly.
On that. If I had $1 million. Go ahead. You want to say something?
Oh, no, I was just saying quickly, put a number on that quickly.
Oh, yeah, quickly.
And add to it, and add an extra $10,000 on it.
Yeah. How much money would it take to change your situation?
And that's like an open-ended question, because you really, it's almost like you're putting yourself in a position to saying that, you know, I trust money, because if I had this amount of money, then definitely my situation would change, which is not true at all, which is not true at all.
Yeah.
That's why you have some people that don't, that have a lot of money, or they think they have a lot of money. They have money, but don't have no peace, don't have no happiness, and their world is upside down. They're living in a type of way that most people do not want to live like that.
Jesus.
They will even commit suicide because of the spirit of money, of what money will do. Money will cause you to do all different types of things. All different types of things.
Yes, it's true.
That song, what's that song that was, it was a song, I'm about the 70s or the 80s, this song, For the Love of Money.
What for the love do of money? It. What people do
what,
for
yeah,
money?
Yeah, what people would do.
I think that's it.
So you
I don't know the
whole
words. I just know that part. What people do for money. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Now, whoever wrote that song, they realized that, you know, hey, this spirit here has attached itself to every single thing in the world. Now, I do believe that. I do believe that that spirit of money, it brings other things. It brings anger because you don't have it. You don't have it, so now you're angry.
Mm-hmm. You operate in the spirit of anger.
Oh, my goodness. It brings
the
spirit
of
anger.
Kinds of evil.
It ushers in more than one spirit. It attaches itself and ushers in more than one spirit. A lying spirit.
Mm-hmm.
A fornicating, an adultery spirit, a covetous spirit. A jealous spirit, a hating spirit. Now look at all this. All this is because of this spirit that has attached itself to money.
Jesus.
Now what we were saying, or it was one thing that we were saying in Bible study. Money has a way of, if you have it or you have, if you don't have it, it has a way of you making a decision if life is going to come in the world. It also makes a decision on what are you going to do after a person, you know, then live this life and they leave this world. It still attaches itself, that money, it still attaches itself to you, because you even have to have it to be able to have a proper burial. And now you gone, but it attaches itself to your loved one. So now they got to deal with that spirit of money as well. It never wants to leave. That's why I say I believe this spirit right here. This is the one. Remember the rich young ruler? Rich young ruler. He asked, he said, good master. Good master. How could he said, good master. Jesus, ain't nobody good but God. You call me up. If you call me good, why you don't call me God?
Is that Matthew
19? Jesus knew that he would never give up his riches. He would never give up his riches because Jesus told him what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give up your riches because you trust that money. Who's going to do that? Who's going to do that? Not most. Not most won't do that. Amen.
Amen. If you just tuned into the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about the spirit of mammon. Has it controlled your life? The question is, what is your relationship with the spirit of mammon? I repeat this again. Mammon in the New Testament of the Bible is commonly thought to mean money, material wealth, or any entity that promises wealth and is associated with the greedy pursuit of gain. So the question again is, what is your relationship with the spirit of mammon today? Have you got to a point in your life and said, God, all I need is you. If I have you, I have everything. Do you stand on the scripture of Matthew 6:33, seeking God first and knowing that in his kingdom and all his righteousness, knowing that all things will be added unto you? And as my husband was saying, when you operate in the spirit of mammon, there are other spirits that you're operating in. One is unforgiveness. Which causes division in the home, in the family, because you're operating with the spirit of mammon. If we look in the Bible over in Matthew 18 and 19, Matthew 18, verse 28, the Bible says that, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And verse 30 says, and he would not be but he would not, but went and threw him into prison to, until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. So then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant." So now he's operating in all kinds of evil. He said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So the Bible said you would lead into all kinds of sorrows. So this man, he begged for his master to forgive him of his debt, but the one that owed him, he did not want to forgive him of the debt that owed him. Owed more to his master than his servant owed him. So now he's operating in unforgiveness. We have to be careful that the spirit of mammon will not cause us to operate in unforgiveness, cause us to operate in all these different other spirits, the spirit of anger. So we have to be very careful that we're not operating in the spirit of mammon, because what that does, it separates us from God. It causes the enemy to come in and wreak havoc in our lives, because now we're not looking to God. We're not looking to Jesus to save us, to provide for us. You know, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. But now your provider is money, and you're looking at money to provide. You're looking at money to heal you. You're going to all these doctors, and you're spending money, and you're asking how much money it's going to cost. I remember someone told me the story about this man, his son. He was a millionaire. His son was about to die, and he said, "How much money will it take me?" He said, "I'll give you all my money, but if you can save my son." And the doctor looked at me, he said, "You could give me all your money, I'll just be taking it." He said, "But now the only person that can help you, the only person, and this is what the doctor said to me, the only person that can save you is God." He said, "At this point, the healer is God. I can't do anything. Your money is not going to save your son. We've done all that we can. Yeah. I suggest that you pray." So he was dependent on his money. He had made money his God. He was so saturated by the spirit of mammon, he didn't even know how to go to God and pray. He was so fixated on his money making a way for him, providing for him. He forgot who was his provider, who is the provider, who is the healer, who is the creator of this whole world. It is God. It has control. So we have to be careful that we're not operating in the spirit of mammon. Amen? Mammon. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The spirit of mammon. Oh, man, this is a great topic for tonight. This is, like I said earlier, this is one topic that definitely has not discussed. Because down in the deep, you really know your heart. And I'm just talking about myself. Down in deep, you really know your heart, and you know what your price. And I remember people would say that you have a price. You have a price. Whatever your price is. Now, if you do have a price, I believe that most of us, before we get deeply rooted, we definitely have a price. If I was making, say, if I was making $52,000 a year, if I was, I'm not saying that I am, but if I was making $52,000 a year, and I'm making sure that first that I'm tithing. I'm making sure that I'm doing all what I need to do, what I'm commanded to do, and even more. I'm making sure I'm doing that. My family is well taken care of, friends and everybody. You know, I'm doing that. And then here comes an email or a text message or a phone call of someone saying that they pulled your resume offline and they're offering you three times the amount of what you're making now. They offer you three times the amount of what you're making now, but this is what you have to do. You have to leave your church. You have to move to another state, possibly leave your husband or leave your wife, leave your children. You have to leave the whole situation that you're in to be able to get this new amount. And this is an amount. It's three times more than you're making right now. To most, that would be very tempting. That would be very, very, very tempting. Now, you running this race superb, but you're not needing for anything. All your bills are paid. You know, you have plenty of money, and you're doing what you're supposed to do. But it's just something about that spirit that's on that money it has a way of attaching itself or showing you that this is, I see what you're doing, but you can do better than that, or you can do more than that, but this is what you have to give up. So you have to give up a lot. You have to give up more than what you ever can imagine. Your whole life you'll be giving it up because of what money has influence on doing. I was talking about someone that's doing it how God tells you to do it. You're living life how God tells you to do it. So if you were a person that you're a believer or you're a non-believer, you're right there in the middle. But I mean, you're not trusting in God, but you definitely, you know what I'm saying, are not you're not operating in witchcraft or any, you know what I'm saying, schemes or Satan. You're not, you know what I'm saying, witchcraft or ungodly. I mean, you're neither one. So at this point, you're in the place to where you have to make a decision, because everyone has to live in this world. Everyone has to live in this world, and it takes something to be able to live in this world. It takes a source to be able to live. No one lives in this world financially free. Well, most people don't. They don't live in this world financially free. You definitely need money. So by default, what you would have to do is you would have to accumulate enough money for you to be able to make a decision on how you want to live, which entails, if you're not choosing God, that means by default you are choosing the works of the world or the rules of the world, which means that you already chose a side. When you don't choose a side, then you are choosing a side.
Because either
you believe that God is your source or not.
Yes.
And if you don't believe that God supplies all of your needs, that means that you're going to believe in what you can do. And if you're believing what you can do, then hey, you're messing up. I mean, you're not believing, which is a scheme, and that's a plan of Satan for you not to trust God. Don't trust God. Don't trust God with your finances. Now, Pastor, I have a question for you. And I think I asked this question one time before. But I'm gonna ask it again because, you know, according to this topic, if you had $20. Now you got $20. Now this $20, now you got a habit. I didn't say this last time. You got $20 and you have a habit. Now you put $10 in your gas tank. You got $10. Now you just have $10 left. Now you had $20, but you put $10 in the gas tank.
Yeah.
So now here comes where you have to make a decision. Your habit is smoking cigarettes. Now I'm not saying that's what that, but your habit is smoking cigarettes. And here it is, you haven't paid your tithe. Which one do you do? Do you go buy you a pack of cigarettes, or do you pay your tithe? Which one do you do without? Do you do without paying your tithe, or do you buy your cigarettes?
Oh, for me, I'm always going to pay my tithe first. So that's going to come out at the beginning. That's automatic. That's going to always come out first.
I'm gonna tell you why I use that illustration. It's because of that spirit. That's on money and what, you know what I'm saying, money can buy you. And I was just using that as an illustration, what money can buy you. See, when you are not showing God that, God, I trust you with everything in my life, you know, paying your tithe, and that was one thing that I had to figure out. Paying your tithe is an illustration, or it's of you showing God that I trust you with my finance. I trust you with my finance. Because if you can show God that I trust you with trust Him with your finance, then pretty much you can trust God with every single thing about your life if you can trust Him with your money. Well, Lord, I don't know what I'm saying, how this writing, but I trust that you are definitely going to provide, because you are my source and you provide all my needs. So I make sure that I pay myself. You can't give. How much can you give to God? God owns every single dollar and every single coin. That's a chance for you to show God that I trust you. Because the Bible says that that trust is the least in the kingdom of heaven. It's the least. But after this life, it would be no need for money. There would be no need for money. We know that just by reading the word. You won't even need money.
Jesus.
So if right now, if you trust God right now with your money, and you show Him that you trust Him with your money, then, hey, you're already putting yourself in the right position to say, God, I trust you with everything, even my finance. I trust you with my relationships. I trust you with my relationship. I trust you with my marriage. I trust you with the welfare of my children, with me having the shelter that I need, and having an adequate amount of resources, food. I trust you with everything because I trust you with my money.
Yes.
Before I do anything, I mean, if you are doing that, you are positioning yourself. You are lining yourself up to receive all that you ever want and need. And God knows that. God knows that. Don't trust in what money can buy. Even on money, money says, in God we trust. So what money is trying to do, money is trying to lead you to that place to where you need to trust. It's leading you. You chasing mm-hmm. money, and money is saying, I trust God.
Yeah.
How about that? It's on there. It's on there. On
yes.
the back of a dollar bill, it said, I trust God. Because God
mm-hmm.
owns money. He owns every dollar. He said, I trust God. So he's trying to lead you to that place. So you need to be giving me over to God like God told you to do. You need to be giving me, because if you don't give me to God, then I'm going to leave you. But I'm going back to my owner. Amen.
Amen, amen. It brought me to, if you're just going to tune into the show today, the preaching of the pastor, we're talking about the spirit of mammon. And I'm going to break down a little bit what the mammon is more in detail. But when you're talking about,
yeah.
If you look at our money here in the U.S., it says, in God we trust. There's a scripture in the Bible where one of the disciples came to Jesus and said, do we pay taxes? I think, oh, no, they were trying to get him caught up into saying something wrong. And I don't have the scripture in front of me right now,
right.
but they were saying the money that was going to Caesar. And he said, give Caesar.
Yeah.
He said, whose name is on
Bring
the money? They
Caesar,
said, Caesar.
Yeah,
it belongs to Caesar. Give it to Caesar. That belongs to God. Give it to God. So he always, you know, they were trying to get him caught up into saying the wrong thing so they could seize him. But even the money said, in God we trust. So I just wanted to bring that to the listeners' attention, those who know the Bible and understand even the money says, in God we trust, and the money is trusting in God. So let's look at this for a moment here. So when we talk about mammon, which means riches, and mammon represents the spirit of this world. So money either has God's spirit on it or a mammon spirit. So Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. So if we think that money could solve our problems instead of God, then the spirit of mammon has influenced us. Let me repeat that again. So if you think that money could solve all your problems instead of God, then the spirit of mammon has influenced you, has influenced us. We're going to look at Luke 16, verse 9, and 9 to 13. Again, I'm going to give you all time to get there. Luke, y'all tell me if I'm doing better with my speed, if I'm moving at the right pace for you all. Again, I'm trying not to talk too fast. Luke 16. Thank you. Chapter 16, verse 9 through 13, it says that, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Verse 10 says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Verse 11 says, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Verse 12 says, and if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Again, that is Luke chapter 16, verse 9 through 13. What is the Bible saying? Mammon means money. We are to make wise use of the financial opportunities we have, not to earn heaven, but so that heaven, our everlasting home, will be a welcome experience for those we help. So if we use our money to help those in need or to help others find Christ, our earthly investment will bring eternal benefit when we obey God's will. The unselfish use of possessions will follow. So our integrity often meets its match in money matters. So God calls us to be honest, even in small details. We could easily rationalize away. So heaven's riches are far more valuable than earthly wealth. But if we are not trustworthy with our money here, no matter how much or little we have, we will be unfit to handle the vast riches of God's kingdom. So don't let your integrity slip in small matters, and it will not fail you in crucial decisions either. So money has the power to take God's place in your life if you're not careful, if you're operating in the spirit of matter. It can become your master. So how can you tell if you are a slave to money? One, do you think and worry about it frequently? Two, do you give up doing what you should do or would like to do in order to make more money? Three, do you spend a great deal of your time caring for your possessions? And four, is it hard for you to give money away? And five, are you in debt? So money is a hard master and a deceptive one. So wealth promises power and control, but often it cannot deliver. Great fortunes can be made and lost. Now, overnight and no amount of money can provide health, and we're talking about that. It can't provide you with good health. It can't do it. It can't provide you with happiness or eternal life. So how much better is it to let God be your master? His servants have peace of mind and security both now and forever. And I can say that about me and my husband. We do have peace. We are quick to give. I mean, as soon as we get it, we're giving it out. We're putting it to the side to be able to help others, to give. You know, we don't operate in that, you know, to be able to say, God, you know, I trust you with everything, Father God. I won't move. I won't go. I'm not going to jump on a job. Yeah. You told me to stay here because you need to use me for your people. So I don't care what people say. You need to get the work. You need to go make that money. How are you going to take care of this? How are you going to take care of your kids? I'm going to stand and stay where God tell me to stay, knowing that he's going to provide for me. And whenever he get ready to do it, I'm going to be okay. I'm not going to allow money to move me, because if you allow money to move you, now you're operating with the spirit of mammon. We have to be very, very careful, because it's so easy to slip into that. All this, I just want to kind of go over this point with everybody that's listening. So what is mammon? If you're looking in again, and we're talking about the spirit of mammon, it's talking about the riches. So back then in the biblical days, they had a god that was called the god of riches. So mammon has its roots of Babylonian history, and essentially means sown in confusion. So Babylon came from the Tower of Babel. So the Tower of Babel was a system where they believed that they didn't need God. They believed their own work could get them high enough to get to heaven. Remember the story, they were trying to build to get to heaven, you know, and God heard their plans. You remember they were having a thoughts of building all the way up to heaven. So when the spirit of mammon influences us, we believe we don't need God if we have money. So the spirit of mammon is a spirit that contrasts itself with the spirit of God. It is an arrogant, prideful spirit that tries to replace God. So Jesus said, you can't serve God in mammon. In other words, mammon is looking for servants. Mammon wants you to look to it, not to God. So Jesus said, you can't serve both. You will be loyal to one and despise the other. People would turn. I mean, people would go make their money instead of go to church. People would not get down and pray and go get that money. You got to ask yourself, am I that person? Am I allowing the spirit of mammon to operate in me? Amen?
Amen. Amen. I've been trying to find a way to come from underneath the spirit of money for the last few years. Been trying to find a way.
Yes.
And the only way that I found, and this might sound funny, I was joking around about what, the only way that I found to come underneath the spirit of money, I just get rid of all of it. So now I ain't got to worry about money because I don't have none no more.
And that's what he does.
Amen. Just get rid of it. No, I'm just joking around. No, don't get rid of it. That works for me. That might not work for nobody else. But that works for me.
Put it in the right place, in the right hands.
the way I say that, because it seems like, you know, and I'm not like that now, but when I was not knowing what the spirit of money was all about, I was trying to make sure that I always had it. I always have money. I could never satisfy that I had enough. We'll work hard, you know, to get it and try to save it up. Then I'll add, okay, now I got $2, or now I got $20, I got $200. But even when I work hard to get that, could never satisfy. Could never satisfy the urge to want more and more and more and more and more. Just always want more of it. So I just decided that, you know what, I'm just going to use whatever God gives me. I'm still make sure that I pay my tithe first.
Mm.
Pay your tithes first. And make sure you do it. Make sure you're showing God that I trust you on your finance first. Not do everything first and then, you know, pay your tithe. No, pay your tithes first. So I start making sure that I do that. And I made sure that everybody that that depended upon me, I made sure that I gave my part. I made sure I took care of home. Make sure you take care of home.
Yes.
And and anything else, you know, just save it. Just save it. Because you will never know you when you be put in that position to where maybe you're pulling up at the red light and there's someone that's there in need. You don't never know who you're entertaining. You never, it could be someone, maybe they look like they're in need. You'll never know when you're entertaining an angel. You never know when someone might walk up to you and, you know, hey, I'm hungry. What do you do? What do you do? If somebody that's in need, what do you do?
Yes.
Do you keep your money in your pocket, or do you help out that someone that's in need? So I was just saying all that, but I haven't figured it out yet. And I think, you know, for this whole lifetime, most would not figure it out, you know, until a long time, you know, pass by. Once you figure out that, you know what, God is my source, then that's when you figure it out.
Yes, amen. Amen.
That's when you figure out.
Amen.
It took me a while to figure that one out. You know, once you figure out that God is your source, then you figure out, you know, how to manage your money. And I think you can
you can receive
that
peace.
Curse in that way.
Yes.
Amen.
Receive your peace. Amen, amen.
Yeah.
If you're just now tuning in to the Preacher and the Pastor Show, we're talking about the spirit of man. And I was just wanted to, you know, agree with you saying, Pastor, is that, you know, you can receive your peace. Just think about it. If you don't have the stress of worrying about money, how I'm going to get it,
that's right.
You know, how I'm going to maintain where I'm at, how I'm going to maintain this amount, how I'm going to do this and that because I need money. Oh, this person's going to leave and I need that money. I'm in this position because of money. When you're able to let go and let God and really truly allow God to be your master and not money, you receive the peace of God. That's the peace that surpasses all understanding. Just think about it. If you didn't have to worry about money and knowing that everything that you need and all that you want will be taken care of and provided for you. That kind of peace.
Man.
That kind of peace. Yeah. And if you're just tuning in, again, we're talking about the spirit of man, and mammon wants to take God's place, as we know that. And that's the
amen.
You know, that's how the enemy wants to operate and use to use us, use you. Mammon promises everything that only God can give us, which is healing, identity, security, significance, happiness, joy, peace, love. You know, prosperity. So mammon can never deliver on its promises. And we had a show on, was it yesterday? God's promises. Yes, it was yesterday. We were talking about the promises of God. So mammon wants to take the place of God, but it can never deliver on its promises. So mammon is the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist does not rule through the threat of nuclear war. Understand that, please. The spirit of Antichrist rules through the threat of not being able to buy and sell. So if you don't bow to me, you know, this is the spirit of man. If you don't bow to me and take the mark of the beast, you won't be able to provide for your family. So all through our lives, mammon is trying to get us to bow to mammon, serve to mammon, worship mammon. And Jesus saying, no, God is the only one that can provide everything that you need. We all have the thinking at some point or another. You know, how are we going to do it? How are we going to do this? You know, I need money for that. I got to make more money. I need to work overtime. I need to do this. I know I'm taking time away from my family. I can't go to church because I'm working. You know, I got to do this before I can do that for God. But no, that's what the enemy wants us to do. That's the spirit of mammon.
Amen. Put Peter right there for a second, Pat.
Go ahead.
I was thinking about when you were saying that, I was thinking about like fire. You know, when you set something on fire, you know, fire is never satisfied. It's never satisfied. As long as it has something to ignite it or to keep it up going, it will get bigger. It'll get bigger. You know, the urge for it, you know, it'll grow and grow and grow until it just destroys all that's in its way, in its path. That's fire. Well, you know, money, the spirit of money that gets inside of you or gets inside of me, it's almost like it does the same thing. It's like when you get a taste of it, when you get a taste of what it can do or what it has provided for you, It's like you can never, ever, ever satisfy. You just want more and more and more and more and more, and almost to the point to where you will just do anything. What would you do for a certain amount of money? What would you do? Would you sell? People would actually sell their soul. They would sell. You'll sell your soul for money, something that you cannot keep. You cannot keep it, and not only you cannot keep it, you can't take it with you when you leave this world. There's only one sure thing that you can be assured that you can take with you after this world. And that's your salvation.
Jesus.
You can be assured of that. Now, that's promised to you. But money is not. Money is not promised to you. I just want to add that in right there for a second there, Pastor. And that was good at what you said.
We thank God. We thank God. If you're just tuning in to the preacher and the pastor show, we're talking about the spirit of man. And I hope it's helping someone. It's helping me as we're talking about the spirit of mammon because, you may not be operating, if you didn't know if you was operating the spirit of man, and how can I be delivered from that? I don't want to operate that anymore. I want to, I want to give. I want to give freely. I don't want to be afraid to let go of what God has given me, afraid that he won't give me, give me more, because when you do that, you operate with the spirit of man. But being able to just let go and truly let God, do what God can do. He wants to care for you. He wants to do it all. He'll position you for the blessing. He will send help in your situation. If you just trust him, he's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. And so we can allow mammon to confuse us and take the place of God in our life and be our master. That's how the spirit of mammon operates. So you ask me, what should we do with money? When we have money, what should we do with money? Because I know a lot of us have asked ourselves, or said to ourselves, I need money. I need God to send me some money. I need somebody to come and give me some money. Yeah. We'll pray for money. We will definitely pray for money. And some people will pray for money before they pray to God to come into their lives. They'll pray for money. And when they say, I want prosperity, they want money. I remember asking somebody in one of my shows before. Yes. I said, what is it that if you could ask God for right now, what would it be? He said, all the money in the world. I said, you mean to tell me that God that created everything, you would ask him for all the money in the world when he could give you everything that money could buy without money? And he had to think about it. He was like, wait a minute.
That's the spirit of money. That's the spirit of money all over him. Huh?
Wow. Yes, he was operating with the spirit of mammon. I remember somebody asking before, oh, what is it that you want? I'll give you anything. What is it what you like? And I said, what I want you can't give me is not the relationship with God. There's no amount of money that can buy. There's nothing in this world that I want more than a relationship with God and to be able to commune with God every day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the person had to do that. They shut their mouth and go. And they had to look at themselves.
They looked at themselves and said,
oh, my God, they felt bad because they didn't realize they was operating with the spirit of mammon. And they were in the word. They're apostles as well. And they didn't realize, oh, my God, I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. And I'm operating with the spirit of mammon.
Yeah.
I'm operating with the spirit of mammon. Because how dare I ask somebody, what is it that you want? I can do this for you. And not realize what they really need. I can't give them. So that's the spirit of mammon.
Amen.
So let's think about this, y'all. If you think, as we're talking about the spirit of mammon, and pass it, I pass over to you for food for thought. If we think that money could solve our problems instead of God, then the spirit of mammon has influenced us. Mammon is the spirit of the world, again, and the spirit that rests on money, not submitted to God. Mammon tries to take God's place by promising us everything that God can give us. We have to be careful, you all. No servant can serve two masters. Remember that. You cannot serve God and mammon. Heaven is being populated, and hell is being plundered by your offerings to the spirit of mammon and operating in the spirit of mammon. We have to be very, 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 very careful with this, you all. I hope this blessed you on today to not operate in the spirit of mammon and, operate. Allow the Holy Spirit to operate in you. And I decree and declare right now that all that is listening right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that any spirit outside of the Holy Spirit that is operating in us, come out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I decree and I declare
the
blessings
of
all that is listening on the line today and decree and declare that we will not operate with the spirit of mammon. From this day forward, we will operate only by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And, Lord, we just want to say thank you in Jesus Christ's mighty name. To God be the
glory. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Food for thought. Go ahead, Pastor.
Amen. Yeah, this topic for tonight definitely blessed me. Oh, man, it blessed me. It allowed me to see where I'm at. You know, food for thought right now. Think about where you're at right now, that place called there, that place called there. If that place is worry, then it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Anything that costs you your peace is not worth it. Anybody that costs you your peace is not worth it. Just some food for thought. Where are you? Where are you right now? Where are you mentally? Where are you physically? That place called there. Make sure that wherever you're at, that you're in a place of perfect peace. Amen.
Amen. If you're just entering into the preaching and the pastor show, we are talking about the spirit of mammon. And I just want to give one of the scripture. We have about 4 minutes left in the show. And this scripture talks about, you know, just being selfish. And then what the spirit of mammon brings, it brings fear and greed and selfishness and pride. I'm sure you all remember the story. Jesus tells a parable of the loan of money. So Matthew 25:24 says, Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will be when he will have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Verse 30 says, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness that will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So when we look at this, the last man was thinking only of himself. He hoped to play it safe and protect himself from his hard master, but he was judged for his self-centeredness. When we operate in the spirit of man, this will cause us to operate in self-centeredness and selfishness. So we must not make excuses to avoid doing what God calls us to do. So if God truly is our master, we must obey willingly. Our time, our abilities, and money aren't ours in the first place. We are caretakers, not owners. When we ignore, squander, or abuse what we are giving, we are rebellious and deserve to be punished. So this parable describes the consequences of 2 attitudes to Christ's return. The person who diligently prepares for it by investing his or her time and talent to serve God will be rewarded. The person who has no heart for the work of the kingdom will be punished. God rewards the faithfulness. Those who bear no fruit for God's kingdom cannot expect to be treated the same as those who are faithful. Amen.
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 We just want to thank you all for tuning in to the show on today. The spirit of Manning has definitely opened up my eyes to see and understand, you know, how it can easily enter, you know, into us and cause us to operate in the spirit of man, even in the church, you know, even in the fivefold ministry. If we're not careful, you know, we have to definitely be careful that we're not preaching in a way or delivering in a way that we're operating in the spirit of man. I mean, as pastors, as preachers in the church, we're preaching prosperity messages, which is causing our, you know, causing the congregation to then operate in the spirit of mammon. That is happening every day in a lot of buildings, so we have to be careful. Pastor, as we wrap up the last few minutes of the show, is there anything you want to say as we wrap the last 90 seconds of the show? Father God, we just want to say thank you. Lord, I guess he doesn't have anything he wants to say. Lord, we ask that you just have your way right now. You all tune in tomorrow to the Preaching the Pastor Show, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. We love you. God bless you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Be sure to tune in tomorrow night at 8 p.m. We definitely look forward to see what God is going to, you know, place. We don't have a topic today. We're just trusting God to lead us and guide us for divine direction and instructions on for what he would have us to deliver on this show that would help someone and help us as well. You all be blessed. We love you. Take care. Thank you again for tuning in to the Preacher and the Pastor Show. God bless you. Wonderful show. Let's do it. Be careful.
Breaking news. Now let's go to James with the weather.
Today's forecast shows that those thunderstorms are finally moving out, and the rest of the week is going to be beautiful.